from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
2 hours in the book. If you missed it, go to the Odyssey app. Go to the show that says Fesco and Dusty. You'll get to hear my annoying rant that started the show. Just felt like it was a good way to get that off my chest to start the morning after reading the text. I feel bad for Vern, so we'll get to Vern here in about 17 minutes on Fesco and Dusty here at 96.5 The Fan. Can't wait. What are you sighing about over there? Sorry, guys.
This hockey story that's coming out this morning with the member of the Columbus Blue Jackets that died. Yeah. He and his brother were killed riding bikes together yesterday.
Yeah.
And their sister's supposed to be getting married today.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh.
This story continues to get worse and worse and worse. And, like, if you're a parent, you understand what that's got to be like. Like, losing a child is not something you're supposed to have. Losing two children in the same day is not something that's supposed to happen. And then losing two children the day before your daughter is supposed to get married as well. Like, my heart is just sick for what happened in New Jersey. It's Johnny Gaudreau, I guess. I'm not trying to pronounce his name. He plays for the Columbus Blue Jackets, and his brother, Matthew, last night, some car tried to get around traffic because they were in a hurry and hit these two guys as they were bike riding. I mean, just devastating. And it happened on the eve of their sister's wedding. Jeez. Oh, my God.
Well, now you know why at the end of the show, every time I tell you, go do nice things for people because you never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It's cool to care. Stay kind and stay safe.
I mean, that story is just going to continue to develop all day. It's sick. It's just so sad.
But that's what we're here for, to keep your mind distracted and keep you in a positive loop, because I will say, when it comes to the world of sports, that's where we can be your vice. We can have a little bit of excitement. We've had one guy that I think has now been sober for like 32 days straight as they continue to fight through their lives of poison and bad thoughts. So that's good to know that we can do that for people. So, again, you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City sports. And now that the season is starting to come to the beginning, college football is always kind of like the appetizer to the NFL slate, as you have more college football tonight. And then Saturday, you get a slew of games. K-State will play. You can hear that on 610 AM. You can also
remember when we used to be on that station?
Yeah, not anymore. So the odds are out of what matchups for the Super Bowl you could possibly see, right? And this is the odds of the Chiefs versus every team in a Super Bowl matchup. Obviously, Carolina Panthers versus Kansas City Chiefs odds are 534-1. So that's the bottom of the barrel. The top of the barrel.
534-1 is such a great number, right? Right? Like, it's just so randomly big.
Should be 1738-1.
That'd be good, too.
Which is probably still not good enough odds. But the number one is the San Francisco 49ers versus the Kansas City Chiefs. That is 19-1 for a repeat.
What do you think about that? Do you?
I'm done with it. I don't want to see it anymore.
I don't either. I'm bored by the 49ers.
Like, what happens if they play them again? Then we're just back into Dallas versus Buffalo. Like, everyone's Dallas, Buffalo, we're going
to
watch.
I don't think it's good for the league for San Francisco to continually making it back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. But again, it's, you know, when you look at the other teams in it, now where it starts to get juicy, we can start at like 54-1. So 54-1 is Atlanta versus Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
39-1 is Green Bay versus Kansas City. Right. 37-1 is Bob's.
I think Green Bay is the sucker bet this year.
Bob's Cowboys versus the Chiefs is 37-1.
Why is Green Bay the sucker bet?
Because they played so well at the end of the last season. Everybody thinks Jordan Love has arrived and he's had a good month and a half.
Had a good last 10 games. But yeah, 2.5 months. Yeah, give me Jordan Love MVP. It's a great odds. Great odds. Mm.
Detroit Lions versus Kansas City is 28-1. Philadelphia versus Kansas City is 26-1. I ask you, Bob, what odds do you like the best, or what could you see being some sort of a Super Bowl matchup that you like, that you'd put a little bit of cash on?
Little long shot one. I'm trying to think, like, what is the most realistic long shot to hit? And I see one that's 71-1. I think it's the Rams and the Chiefs. I think the Rams are going to be a good football team, right? Yeah. I think they get overshadowed by San Francisco, obviously, in their own division, and they're just kind of a nondescript team, right? There's no fans of the Rams or anything like that. They're just a team. But I think they're a good team. I think they've got a really good head football coach. They got a Hall of Fame quarterback. The Rams are quietly that team that if I'm looking to place a bet just based on odds for a long shot for the Super Bowl actual matchup this year, that includes the Chiefs, because they did this with every single team in the NFL and the odds for an actual Super Bowl matchup. I think the Rams versus the Chiefs at 71-1 is the most logical long shot that is out there. What do you guys think?
I don't know if it's a long shot for this one, but I think Detroit versus Kansas City at 28-1, that's got good juice it. Detroit's kind of in that year three of their window that has 1 to maybe 2 years before it starts getting a little scary if you haven't really won a whole lot or don't have a lot of, you know, whatever to put on that in that sort of franchise window. Dan Campbell seems to be a great coach with that franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Goff seems to really kind of found his home in Detroit. Amara St. Brown, Jameis Williams is out there as well. Got a good offense, got a good rapport. 28-1 seems logical. Plus, it gives me my favorite sort of script story, which is here's Detroit finally getting to that spot, finally getting to the promised land, only to be knocked down 17 pegs again by losing the Super Bowl to the Kansas City Chiefs. And then you have arrived as the full force villain of the NFL.
I didn't think it was long enough a shot for me. Like 28-1, I'm like, that's not long enough. Like I think the Lions could be the team that does represent the NFC in the Super Bowl this year. Like I'm bored by San Francisco. I really am. Like they just do. I've always been bored by San Francisco. It's not just recency bias. As a kid, I was bored by San Francisco. So I'm hoping this is a team that doesn't show up this year. Trent Williams holds out, you know, Brandon Ayuk gets, you know, fat on the lamb and doesn't go out there and, you know, perform like everybody thinks, and Brock Purdy, you know, plays like Mr. Irrelevant. Like, I'm just not into San Francisco. Philadelphia, I don't know what to think about Philadelphia, because I feel like the people that are closest to the Eagles hate them. And I feel like everybody outside is like, I think they're a pretty good team. So I don't know what to think about Philadelphia right now. I would love it for Detroit to be in there, because I think it's time for that city to get a little love in the sports world, and I love their uniforms. So I kind of like that one, but like long shot for me, the Rams, because it's 71-1. Where are you at, Mac?
Yeah, I really, if you're talking long, I mean, that is the best odds for sure. The Rams, 71-1. I mean, they're tied with the Bears and the Chiefs.
Right. Isn't that crazy, right?
No, that's ridiculous. That's never going to happen. And you're right. Matthew Stafford, we've seen him do it. Sean McVay, top five coach in the league to me. I'm really, really worried about that Rams defense, but I think they'll have a top five offense. So I like that from the odds perspective. Yeah, the Eagles thing, it's weird. You know, you mentioned the Packers, a great 8 weeks. Everyone's falling in love with them, including me. Feels kind of the opposite with the Eagles. An atrocious last 8 weeks of the season, and everyone's like, it's fine, they'll be back. And it's like, did we?
But how do you know? Seven? Yeah, they went 1-7 down the stretch, and most
it was terrible.
Like they added Saquon Barkley. I hate to break it to you, like adding a running back that's in his mid to late 20s is not going to turn around your fortunes and all of a sudden create you this team. Like you still went 1-7 last year with Nick Sirianni and with Jalen Hurts. Now they
worked
are getting
out well with San Francisco.
They are getting Big Dom back.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh,
and
good,
so
good.
Like I mean, okay. That's they worried. Like so many people said like that was a big devastating blow. Like they couldn't recover from Big Dom being back or being not on the sideline anymore. So he is coming back.
Sirianni, stay away from the ref.
Yeah, so like maybe like they're a team now because their security guard is back.
Another flag.
I was listening to our sibling station WIP the other day, right? Mm-hmm. And they're doing a thing for like Eagles Autism Awareness charity auction, and one of the prizes you can win is dinner with Big Dom.
Hell yeah. You think any shot at anything but Italian?
I mean,
That's what they're giving away. Like dinner with, and people are bidding on this thing to have dinner with the security guy. That's how big a cult hero he is.
I mean, people pay money to play golf with me. So, I mean, I can imagine wanting to eat with Big Dom would be a little bit more exciting than that.
You get some good stories, I bet.
Ah, dude.
Big Dom knows where all the bodies are buried, both on the team and in South Philly.
You ever heard of good gravy? You take your bread and you dip it in marinara sauce. It's Italian gravy.
I like Big Dom. I'll let Big Dom protect me. Coming up, speaking of somebody who's always protected me, Josh Verner. He'll join us at, I don't know, about 8 minutes. We'll get into the Royals again. Hopefully the guy at the lake is still listening because he's going to get more Royals talk, and we're going to get somebody who knows a lot about those Royals. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5. The Fan, it's your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Back here on a Friday on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Damn, glad to have you. Starting to clear out. Looks a little good outside. 73 is the temperature right now. High of 82. As we move through this week, it has been a fast show. Last night, a fast evening for most people that are into sports. The Colorado Buffaloes, my team. KU Jayhawks, a lot of people's teams. Missouri Tigers, most people's team. And then, yeah, the Royals play last night. A little disappointing.
Now, most people's team, Missouri.
I would assume.
No, I think the number's always been about 50% KU, 25% Missouri, 20% Kansas State, and the rest everybody else.
Fair enough. Kansas State will play Saturday on this station at 4 o'clock. 96.5 The Fan. Actually, it'll be on 6:10 a.m., but then they will continue once the Royals are done, which will be for a while, because I hate to break this to you, Royals going to be playing some playoff baseball. I know last night might have stung a little bit, maybe for different reasons. Lucas Irsic getting hurt, Vinny Pasquantino getting hurt. It looked painful. It looks like it could be some time before we see Vinny back. We don't know anything officially yet, but it looked like a very limp hand. Looked a little scary at the time because those plays, they always seem to happen in the MLB season. You just hope it doesn't happen to you when it has those bang-bang plays at first, a little bit of an errant throw. But it is what it is. You got to grind through the season. You've only lost one against Houston. You're still in second place in the Central. You're only a game and a half behind Cleveland. You have a two-game lead on the Minnesota Twins, and you're only three games out of the top spot in all of the American League. So, Vern, I went on a rant this morning. I couldn't believe the text message you were getting. I had a couple cigarettes. I'm calm. Welcome to Fresca. I had to do it, man. I'm sorry.
You do what you got to do. I don't care.
I couldn't take it, man. People thought the season was over.
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
I don't understand this being resigned to the fact that the Royals are going to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, either you respect this stretch and you respect their opponents, and man, we've just been around too long to act like a 5.5-game lead on the Boston Red Sox is insurmountable with 27 to play, especially with the uncertainty of your number three hitter and the only reliever that you trust right now. Keep in mind, this team hasn't been able to replace, and it's understandable, this team hasn't been able to replace the loss of Hunter Renfro's bat, right? Mm-hmm. You're running Dairon Blanco and Frazier and whoever you have out there in right field. Garrett Hampson last night's out there in right field, so you're missing the 800 OPS of Hunter Renfro that dates back to the beginning of May. Vinny Pasquantino's OPS since the All-Star break is near 850. The guy's hitting 300. He is. I mean, last night you lost possibly a quarter of your most important players. To me, there's eight guys on this team that must perform at an All-Star level if this team's going to track down Cleveland. And honestly, if this team is going to get to the postseason, and you lost two of them last night, we'll see how long. Mm-hmm. But if it's any extended period of time, man, I'm not fully panicked, but I'm thinking about canceling Christmas.
Wow. So you really are that upset if they were to lose Vinny for an extended period. Let's talk Vinny first, okay? Then we'll get into Irsic. But let's talk Vinny first. If they do lose Vinny for an extended period of time, Vern, what is your backup plan? I've seen some people on the text saying, well, September call-ups are happening. They never amount to anything. Prado hasn't been here all year. Like, what would you do in that situation? We kind of bantered about talking about potentially moving, you know, Paul DeJong over to first base if you have to.
Right now, it's Salvi every day at first base. It's Freddie behind the dish, and I'm calling up Austin Nola. Maybe when you expand the roster coming up this weekend. Maybe then you bring up a Nick Prado. But like you said, man, that doesn't really instill much confidence. And the reason why, yes, I understand the boys are 15 games above 500 and, you know, all the things that you said, Dusty, you're right. But it's three with Houston, three with Cleveland, the Twins, and then the New York Yankees. And the thing that Vinny does well is hit good pitching. And that's what you're going to see down the line is consistent, good pitching, right? That's why the Yankees are at the top of their division. That's why Cleveland, their bullpen, is at the top of its division. We've already seen what Pablo Lopez can do. And, man, Vinny, Salvi, and Bobby, BVS, have just done so much of the heavy lifting this season to remove one of them. Who picks up the slack?
Yeah.
And when you say pick up the slack, it's not do what you've been doing because, you know, MJ Melendez is hitting 304 in August. Paul DeJong's been outstanding since joining the Royals. Michael Massey, Michael Garcia, they're all hitting well. But if you lose Vinny, I need more. Who in this lineup do you say, all right, you must deliver more moving forward, more than what they're already doing? I just don't see how you piecemeal it together to replace a guy. And Vinny, that's second in baseball, hitting .360 with runners in scoring position, a guy that leads baseball with 30 runs driven in his last 28 games. There's a reason why. A team that we all felt as if was destined for the postseason, this guy's hit third in just about every single game. I don't know many teams that can lose the number three hitter and not miss a beat. The Royals are going to be stung if Vinny's out for any extended period of time. And I don't think he's replaceable.
Okay, so that being said, that's on the field. What about inside that locker room? What kind of devastating blow is it to have this? I don't even know what the right word to use is. Glue guy, team guy, like all around
the
nice
mouthpiece.
Dude. That's like losing Hosmer back in the day if you did, right?
Yeah. Vinny exudes confidence. I think he has a way of putting into words what the clubhouse is thinking. But, you know, Vinny was also a part of the 106-loss team last year. He is coming off an injury. For as important as his voice and his attitude are, you know, this clubhouse still falls in line behind Waka, Lugo, Salvi, Hunter Renfroe, the veterans. You know, for as great as Vinny has been, especially of late, he, too, like Bobby, like MJ, like a lot of these guys, were all embarking on a postseason push for the first time in their career. And I think it was written all over Vinny's face as he was coming off the field. You could see the shock. You could see the pain. You could also see the disappointment of what could be taken from him down the stretch. As, like I mentioned, the guy's hitting so very well, but you could see the youth all over his face. So the way that he was feeling coming off the field, you know, Bobby and Massey and his buddies inside the clubhouse are feeling the same way. And, yeah, they can try and rally around him, and we could say all the cute things of, okay, next man up, and the vet's got to do this, and that guy's got to do that. Sometimes talent is talent, and Vinny's one of the most talented bats in the sport. You can't replace that.
So you bring up, you know, what can you do to replace it? And the theories that I've put together, as much as I try to follow this team, and I know you believe in me when I say that, is it seems like some of the fan base is going to get what they want in a weird way. Salvador Perez, I think, could play a little bit more first base. Freddie Fermin catches. That's obviously the big replacement fill-in. The other one I think you could see is, maybe I'm wrong here, Vern, do you see like Paul DeJong playing some first base? You put Michael Garcia back at third where he's comfortable, and then your infield is Garcia, Bobby, Michael Massey, Paul DeJong, catcher is Sal or Freddie Fermin, and then you put Sal in the DH role when he's not playing first base. Is that kind of where you would see this kind of go if Vinny is not available?
Well, first of all, Q doesn't run out the same lineup every single day. This isn't 14-15, so there is no set infield. Massey doesn't play every day because of that second, because of that back. But yeah, I mean, Bobby's your shortstop. I mean, yeah, you know the team. They're still going to mix and match, but line it up however you want. You don't have Vinny Pasquantino, and there is no replacement. Yeah, Salvi at first, Freddie behind the dish, you know, platoon at second base, a platoon at third, Bobby at short. Yeah, you know the team, but there is There is just a gigantic hole in the lineup. Okay, defensively, maybe they don't take a gigantic step back, even though, let's keep in mind, this defense, over the course of the first eight games of this Riptide, they've made nine errors in eight games. Bobby's dropped a ball. Massey's dropped a ball. We've had misreads from every single outfielder so far over the course of this Riptide. Look, the standard has dropped. In Cleveland against Philly and last night against Houston, the things that got you to 15 games above 500, your rotation, your defense, your base running have all been subpar compared to the standard set over the first 100-plus games this season. Another part of the standard was Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi coming through clutch 80% of the time. So if your standard of pitching, defense, and base running is now falling short, and you lose Vinny Pasquantino, line it up however you want. A lot of things need to get cleaned up, and it's going to be difficult when you're going up against Framber Valdez and Yusei Kikuchi and Garrett Cole and Pablo Lopez. Again, Royals fans, pack a lunch for these final 27. It is going to be bumpy.
All right, let's talk about Urseg now, too. I know his two outings were a little bit rocky, but he's been very stable since you got him over there. If he's out for an extended period of time, what does that do to the bullpen now?
Man, well, I mean, you're already without Hunter Harvey, and his absence was glaring in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
To lose a guy in Lucas Urseg is not as demoralizing as losing your number three. And I guess it's not as demoralizing as losing Bobby, Salvi, or any of your big four starting pitchers, but he's next in line. I can't think of another position player outside of BDS that's more important than Lucas Urseg. Suddenly James MacArthur's stretch of nine straight scoreless appearances, that could be put to the test. You know, Chris Bubich looked good last night,
yeah,
Facing the bottom of the Cleveland lineup, but he's going to continue to get more opportunities. A loss of Lucas Urseg, what it does, Bob, is just return us to where we were in the first half of the season, where you're looking at Lugo, Reagans, Waka, and Singer and saying, I need you to be great. You know, I need you to get back to your Cy Young form, your all-star form, if you're Waka or Singer. It just continues to put more pressure on the guys that have been doing the heavy lifting. Now, as we prepare for this final month of the season, there's nothing wrong with this team falling short, if that's ultimately what happens, especially when you take into account just how much of the heavy lifting Bobby, Salvi, and Vinny have done, just how much of the heavy lifting the rotation has done, how much of the carrying of the offense those big three have done, how much carrying of the team this rotation has done. So if they can't keep it up for a full 162, it's understandable. The fact that this rotation and those three bats have brought this team to where we're at the end of August, coming off a 106 loss season, is remarkable. It's historic. If they finish this off, possibly without Vinny, without Lucas Urseg, if they still find their way into the postseason, not only is it historic, it's jaw-dropping. It's legendary. If you lose these guys and they're still able to overcome it, this team will have my lifetime respect.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think, Vinny loss would be tough to overcome. Urseg loss, even tougher, to overcome, in that situation. But
and you're already without Lorenzen,
yeah,
Harvey, Renfro. It's you're asking a lot of a team that has already given you a lot and is already delivered more than I think the sum of their parts.
Right. So, Vern, yesterday, we asked you to come on because we were having a conversation about, Brady Singer and where he kind of fits into this postseason situation. He pitched really well yesterday. I'm not going to go great. He pitched well yesterday, did a nice job yesterday, gave you an opportunity to win a ball game. Really good, I thought. But for me, yesterday we were having the conversation, if you have a five-game series, I don't believe, in my opinion, that Singer is one of the three starters that you would use, and I don't know if he makes the first-round postseason roster. Yeah. Where do you stand on Brady Singer?
Yeah, I thought you made a good point.
Thank you.
If Urseg, and again, this was prior to the injury, if Urseg and Harvey and Lorenzen are healthy, then I'm with you. Yeah, I could see Brady Singer being left off that first-round playoff roster. I'm a nerd, so I dove into the numbers after hearing your conversation, just looking at what these starters have done this season against the 11 other teams that are currently in line to make the postseason. Cole Reagans has made a dozen starts against playoff teams. His ERA is just a shade above 4. Lugo's made 11 starts against playoff teams. His ERA is just under 4.5. Waka, same thing, just under 4.5 in 6 starts. And then Brady has the highest ERA against current playoff teams at 4.8. You also take into account what the matchup is, right? If you're facing Boston, they got a bunch of lefties. Of course, you're not going to start Brady Singer. But as currently constructed, with the possibility of no Urseg and no Hunter Harvey, and maybe no Michael Lorenzen, if you make it to the postseason, you're going to find a spot for Brady Singer, even if it's as a right-handed reliever out of the bullpen. But again, that's only because so much has changed over the past 24 hours. But when you guys were discussing that yesterday, I'm with you. But I think those numbers, you know, every starter has an ERA north of 4 against these playoff teams. That, to me, is just the latest example of why this Royals team, as currently constructed, especially with these injuries, is so much, in my opinion, better equipped for the regular season, more so than the playoffs. Because in the playoffs, I don't know if I want anyone facing anyone a third time. Most teams are not going to allow their starting pitcher to face the opposing hitters a third time. You're going to go to the bullpen and start bringing out your big dogs. Royals right now don't have any big dogs. In fact, because of that quality opponent that you're going to be seeing throughout the postseason, it all of a sudden brings your rotation down a little bit. You know, Brady, Waka, Reagans, Lugo, ERAs in the 4, that's no way to win in October. The way you win in October is a bunch of high leverage, high octane arms, and hitters that can come through in big spots. Last night you lost one of each, a high octane reliever and a hitter that loves the big spot.
One thing I want to bring up with you, Vern, is two of your points you just made. You're going to get to see a lot of charisma from this team, or a chance to see that, because it's Lugo and Reagans the next two nights going against Houston, first place team, a team that will be a playoff team that you have to battle against. Also, to follow up that question, Vinny always hitting third in the lineup. Does Sal move to third, and then who would move into that fourth slot?
Again, I think it goes by matchup. Okay. Well, number 4, I think, goes by matchup. But yes, bump Salvi up to the 3 spot. Tonight you're facing Framber Valdez. Mm-hmm. I would think it would be Paul DeJong hitting cleanup, protecting Salvador Perez. Again, you need Hunter Renfroe to get back. You want MJ Melendez to stay hot. But I just move everyone up. And, you know, that means Kyle Isbell's hitting 7th. I love Izzy, but he's not a 7 hitter. He's a 9 hitter. Let's go, boys.
Sounds like you need some positivity in your life. You need to come over to the patio after the game tonight or something, bud.
Yeah, if I'm in a good mood, if they lose, drinking beers isn't going to make me feel any better. It's just going to send me into a depression spiral.
Why do you have whiskey and tequila, Vern?
Yeah.
Fighting. I'll fight somebody. Give me that dark liquor, man. I'm fighting somebody.
Well, it's also the state of Missouri, so we have other things.
Vern, let me ask you that. Only in Missouri? Let me ask you this, though. We're looking at a team that's played great all season long, exceeded expectations. Let's say this thing does turn south and doesn't end up in the postseason, right? Just for argument's sake, for conversation's sake here, right? Mm-hmm. If it doesn't end up in the postseason, you got to still walk away from the season going, this organization's on a great track forward. They took so many good steps in the right direction, and now it's go time, right?
Yeah, and I think that's all written on the Executive of the Year award that ultimately will sit on the desk of J.J. Piccolo. Look, if there's anything that I take away from this season, it's, it really looks like you're in good hands, Royals fans. If you just look at what this front office has done over the past year and a half, they won this year's deadline. Right, you can't take into account Urseg getting hurt the way that he did, or Lorenzen getting hurt the way that he did. I guess you could count Harvey getting hurt, but you could make a case that if the Royals, Vinny stays healthy and Urseg stays healthy, if they win the division, the reason why they win the division is because of what they did at the deadline, juxtaposed to what Cleveland didn't do at the deadline. Right, Lane Thomas has done nothing for him. Alex Cobb is already banged up. But, J.J. won this year's trade deadline. I think he won this past year's offseason with the signings of Lugo and Waka and Renfroe and the clubhouse changers and Will Smith and Chris Stratton. And then last year he won the trade deadline with Cole Reagans. So just as Chiefs fans have learned, There's nothing more important than the quarterback and the head coach in the NFL, but boy, if you have a good general manager, you're going to stay consistent, even if you are paying your quarterback a ton. In baseball, the general manager is even more important. I think he's the most important man or woman in the sport. And it seems like you have a good one. And if you have a good general manager and an aggressive owner, then you can do what Cleveland and Milwaukee and Tampa have done over the past decade and a half, and that is stay competitive consistently. And as I compare them to Cleveland, to Tampa, and Milwaukee, I know John Sherman would push back and say, I don't see those teams paying anybody $300 million. You know, don't lump us in with the small market, penny-pinching teams. We'll spend when it's time to spend. And when you have a general manager to go alongside them like this, yeah, you have to feel great as a Royals fan.
And if the Royals do end up keeping and overcoming this loss with Vinny potentially and Ursaig, who's the guy that you're looking at that you're saying, all right, that's the dude that steps up?
Well, if the Royals win the division, Bobby has to be the MVP. If the Royals make it to the postseason, MJ jumps out to me because you can at least rely on him to be in the lineup every single day. They need that speed of Michael Garcia causing havoc on the base paths, and they need Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans to lock it back into that Cy Young form. So that's how good Vinny is. I can't pick one person to pick up the slack. It's a combination of three or four.
Well, I'll pick up the fan base because my ship is still sailing blue skies and I'm still positive.
I love your attitude,
well,
Dusty,
you should,
man. I wish I had that right
now. You need it, baby. You need it. If you want, I can come on the pregame show. I'm here all night and I'll be there Saturday. Vern, take care. Get some sleep. Wake up with a little bit more sunshine in your life, buddy, because it's playoff baseball season.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Come on, Vern.
I'll take your word for it.
Come on, it ain't over yet. You got plenty of time. 27 games. That's Josh Vernon, Royals Insider. Vern, we'll talk to you. We'll listen to you tonight. Starting at 6 o'clock as they get ready for game two of these four. Josh Vernon joins the show. I'll bring up some more sunshine in your life. We'll get into pressure and preseason rankings once again when it comes to awards. Sorry, late guy. We're going to do something else again. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You are listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
I guess it is my job the rest of the year to keep Josh Vernier positive. A little doom and gloom in the voice of Vern. He got hit with a ton of bricks last night, so I understand. He came on the show unscheduled. We did it last minute. We had plans on talking about what his thoughts were with Brady Singer missing the rotation. I think Brady Singer's just fine. Had a quality start last night. Think Brady Singer's earned his spot for the three guys. Vern basically got dealt an entire different hand than he thought he was going to get because, speaking of hands, two of them got injured last night. Lucas Ursaig and Vinny Pasquantino both injured leaving last night's game. It's kind of tough.
Yep.
It's sports. That sort of stuff happens. Now you get to see what kind of grit and wit, no pun intended, this team will have moving forward. I can't wait to see what this sort of pressure will do to this Royals team.
I'm anxious to see who's going to be the one that steps it up. Like the guy we're not talking about right now, who's going to be that guy that steps up if Vinny is out for an extended period of time and if Lucas Ursaig is out for an extended period of time. I'm interested to see who that guy is going to be. And Vern kind of talked about MJ Melendez and he's been a good player lately, you know, mentioned 302 or whatever he's done the last month of the season or so. So he's starting to hit the ball well. I really like what I've seen out of Kyle Isbell recently. Like, I don't know, like you get feels when you watch games about certain players, like certain players you have confidence in, certain players you don't have confidence in. And sometimes you just don't know why you may have more confidence in somebody than the other. And I feel like right now when Melendez and Isbell come to the plate, Dusty, like I feel like they're going to deliver. Like that's kind of just where I am with those two guys right now. So the pressure hasn't been on them, but it could very well be on them to deliver in these big situations if we're going to lose Vinny for an extended period of time. And you saw the way that hand was hanging there last night. Like it didn't look good. You know, Ursaig didn't look good, you know, in that game either. So they're going to potentially have some time without both of those players. And you've got to have your other guys just step up and be Major League Baseball players. Like if you let injuries just stop your season, well, then maybe you weren't just a good team at all to begin with. And so you've got to find a way to pick each other up. And there's enough good players on this team that can say, this is an opportunity for me to go out there and get the job done.
We talk about pressure outside of baseball. We go into Somebody says, man, you guys are jumping off the bandwagon awful fast. Who's jumping off?
Nobody's jumping off any bandwagon. We're talking about reality. You lose your number three hitter for an extended period of time, it could be a devastating move for a team. You know?
I literally just got told by Vern he needs more of my positivity. He said he needs me to have some of that. So 816, please explain to me where I'm jumping off a bandwagon. I would love to know your examples. Thank you very much for listening. But again, tell me, where in the world did I jump off a bandwagon? I just literally was the only one that was positive when it came to Vern and I.
The theme of today's show is literally you trying to calm everyone down.
I know. Like, what are we doing here?
Well, people hear what they
want.
Man,
you guys are jumping off the bandwagon awful fast. 816, explain to me where I jumped off the bandwagon. My ship is still sailing very fast. The Royal Caribbean Cruise, the Crown Jewel. Hey, duh!
Yes, sir.
I've also got a guy that I've been dealing with on the text line. They're telling me how awful San Francisco is when he's never been there because he watches the news. Don't watch anything on the news. The news gets you to watch so you can click and get all angry. They're never going to tell you anything good. And I know that because when my wife and I were on vacation in Paris, they said, oh my God, Paris is crumbling. There's a big strike. You're never going to be able to get around. There was a strike from 1 to 3 in one corner of the city that was occupied by 8 people. And the media made it sound like this was a big deal. So take what you see on the news with a very small grain of salt and move on from there and make your own determinations. Don't let the news tell you how to live life.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing rots your brain more.
Speaking of pressure, you can get a lot of pressure from the text line, get a lot of pressure from Twitter. Apparently, I don't know which one of you it is. You think Malik Nabers has the biggest pressure outside of a QB than anybody in the NFL? Is that's you?
Did you see what happened there in New York? This is an interesting situation because I don't know that I've ever seen anything like this. And nobody's going to know this guy's name. I didn't even know this guy's name, and I grew up a Giant fan. His name is Ray Flaherty, right? And and he was a guy who played for the Giants back in the aughts, right? Mm-hmm. And what we're looking at is a guy who had his number retired by the Giants back in the day, like back in 1930 or whatever it was, right? Mm-hmm. He wore number one. They retired it. Interestingly enough, it's the first number ever retired in the NFL, which
pretty
is
cool.
Cool story, right?
Very
like,
cool.
Oh, okay. Now, the Chiefs don't retire numbers, and most NFL teams do not retire numbers because you eventually are going to run out of numbers, you know, with a 53-man roster. That's why when you see 68 or 88 or 10 or some of these numbers that were like Trent Green, Will Shields, and some of these guys, they're never going to be retired because you run out of numbers in the NFL. So they don't do a lot of number retiring in this league.
You have to get rid of 87 and 95 and 15.
A lot of these numbers are going to have to go here. So you can't do anything like that. But sometimes you just don't see them issued again. Like 16 will never be issued again by the Chiefs. That's why Joe Montana wore 19. Okay. Anyway, as we sit here and we're talking about what's going on. So Malik Nabers has been kind of trying to figure out what number he wants to wear. And he was wearing 9. He's bouncing around. He finally settles on number 1, the first number ever retired in the history of the NFL. It's coming out of retirement so Malik Nabers can wear that number. Like, they called the descendants of this guy's family and got the permission. And I'm like, this cat's never played in the NFL before. The first number that was ever retired in the history of the game is being unretired, and this guy's going to wear it. That just screams like freaking pressure to me. And Daniel Jones is still throwing him the football. Like, how do you expect this guy to have success?
I don't think that's a lot of pressure.
You don't?
Really?
Not why?
Really.
Because it's happened before in recency, and it's happened in the same division. Jerry Jones gave CeeDee Lamb Michael Irvin's number, and he's one of the top 3 receivers in football.
But
and
that's
he just
when
got
he was
paid. And it was his rookie year.
Oh, it was his rookie year. Okay,
he's only
that's
worn
fair.
One number, and it's 88. I don't think there's any. I think the most pressure in the world is on Caleb Williams. I know he can't say a quarterback, but I mean, like, that guy's in a franchise that's been screwing it up for years, for decades, and like, he's supposed to turn this thing around and be a playoff team immediately. Like, I think Malik Nabers is just fine. Like, I think getting a number can kind of boost your morale and boost your system. Like, CeeDee Lamb getting Michael Irvin's number over, you know, other people in the past. I think didn't Dez Bryant
wear
88 as well?
Yep.
So, I mean, like, that doesn't seem – I mean, like, yeah, it's a retired, unretired number, but I don't think that Malik Nabers has a ton of pressure. I think the more pressure's on their head coach.
Well, there's a lot of pressure on a lot of people in that organization. But, like, if you're sitting back and you're a fan and they're like, wait, they unretired a number to give to this guy? Oh, my goodness. Like,
this guy better be great.
This guy better be great.
Right away.
Like, as a fan, your expectation is – 1,800 yards and how many touchdowns, right? Like, you're going to set those unrealistic expectations as fans normally do. And in that situation, you're going to have extra added pressure put on this player. And if he doesn't go out, like I know how it is in New York. The minute he goes out there and drops a pass, the phone lines the next day on WFAN are going to be blazing up and everybody's going to be ripping on this guy. Like he has set himself up where he has to go out and achieve success. Otherwise, the New York fan base, the New York media is going to absolutely, you were so good. You felt like you had to unretire a number. Like I can hear it now. I've lived it, right? Like we've all been there. I can hear it now. The minute he doesn't have a good game, the media's on his ass, the fans are on his ass, 4 hours of ripping him on WFAN. Like there's a lot of pressure on that guy. He's absorbed a lot of pressure by doing this to himself. If he wore number two and just went nondescript with it, nobody would care, you know?
And I thought there was already pressure on Malik Nabers, but I think this is just the biggest cherry on top, because what wide receiver all offseason have you been seeing highlights of? It's not Marvin Harrison. It's Malik Nabers
has had a lot of highlights.
He's the one trending on Twitter. He's the one we're seeing all these videos
where
of.
Where does Marvin Harrison play football?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It is New York.
Where does Malik Nabers play football?
I get it.
And also, was it Malik Nabers starting the fight? Or was the cornerback putting his face in his other face and starting it? What do you want him to do? You want him to sit there and take it like a beat?
Absolutely.
No. You go back at it. But Marvin Harrison Jr., like, it's the NFL. Kansas City's got more hype, you know, like yeah. It doesn't matter where you play anymore,
but
in the NFL,
pressure,
right?
Nonetheless,
it does. No, it does. There's going to be a lot of pressure on him. And it's, I don't want to say it's self-inflicted pressure, but it's like people who wouldn't know about Malik Nabers, like the casual fan, now has a story that they're going to look at because it's out there. Oh, that's the guy who unretired that guy's number and he's not playing good.
He can't even catch a pass.
Yeah. Right. Like it's just like added pressure that you put on yourself that you didn't need. And now he's, yeah, you know, maybe he goes out there and becomes the greatest wide receiver we ever did see. I don't know the answer to that question. You know, we'll see, but I think it's going to be tough for him to achieve the success that he wants with Daniel Jones as his quarterback and a bad offensive line too.
And, you know, Peyton Manning had a lot of pressure when they unretired 18 and gave it to him in Denver. He just, you know, won the division 4 straight years in a row.
Who was 18 in Denver?
Yeah. First ever quarterback in franchise history.
Wow.
Who? Good question. Doesn't matter. All they know now is that Peyton Manning is number 18. Yeah, exactly.
Who was it? Yeah.
I got to look it up now.
I want to know who that was. I just want to know.
Papa John.
Let me guess. Was it Craig Morton? Was there a guy named Craig Morton?
Is he a country singer?
Craig Morton? Bueller? Anybody?
Sorry, I'm looking at
Denver Broncos quarterbacks, QBs. Great radio here for everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe it was Craig Morton.
Frank.
It's better than trivia.
Frank Trpucka.
There you Frank go. Trpucka.
Trpucka. Thank you.
Kelly's father. Yeah. Mm,
Kelly Trpucka. There you go. Yeah, the guy had a buzz cut and his photo's black and white and he's barely smiling, so you know he's from like the 40s. That's like right when you could smile in photos. Before then, it was illegal to do that. Fesco, Dusty, Mac, it's 9 o'clock. We wrap up the show. We got an hour left coming up on the other side. There was a booty touchdown, and college football is back, and Deion Sanders is in full force. Mac wants to chime in, so do Bob and I.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hi, you're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.